provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenes, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about AI and B2B marketing, and CW3132. Frenes is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with account and executive insights far beyond AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to help you cut through all the noise and get, you know, genuinely well-informed fast together. Today, we're diving straight into the biggest AI trends really shaking up B2B marketing right now. We're looking specifically at insights from LinkedIn over calendar weeks 31 and 32. I mean, the pace has changed with AI. It's just relentless, right?
Absolutely relentless.
And for B2B marketers like you, keeping track of what's real, what you can actually use, and frankly, what's just hype. Well, it's vital if you want to stay competitive.
Totally agree. And this period, those 2 weeks, CW1 and 32, it really felt like a shift towards practical uses of AI, real, tangible deployments. We saw this strong focus on boosting conversion efficiency, yeah, but also getting ahead of campaign risks, like predicting problems before they happen. And also strategically using these newer AI technologies to build sustainable, predictable growth in B2B. Our goal here is just to pull out the most important actionable bits for you.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack our first big theme then. It's the really intense debate around AI SDR, sales development reps, and sales automation in general. It's a super hot topic. Lots of strong opinions flying around.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a take.
Right. Is AI replacing people or just helping them out?
It's definitely the core discussion right now. On the efficiency side, there were some pretty compelling examples floating around. James Brooks pointed out how AI SDRs are now combining chat and voice.
Seamlessly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. For really smooth lead qualification and booking appointments, they're getting quite sophisticated. And Sachin Gupta shared this great story, actually, where their inbound AI SDR saved a meeting.
Saved it. How?
Well, it proactively gave the prospect all the info they needed, like right away, pushed them down the funnel without even needing a human call initially. That's a big shift.
That is a big shift. And those are real results, you know, not just theory. Summit End shared this playbook. Super impressive. One AI SDR targeted these now buyers, enriched the data, and booked 12 demos, 12, with a 27% positive reply rate in 1 week.
Wow.
And the kicker, zero manual SDR hours.
Wow.
That just screams productivity, doesn't it? Scalability.
Yeah, absolutely does. But, you know, that immediately brings up the big question, the core debate, replacement or augmentation. Garth Ikar put it bluntly. He said AI SDRs will replace human SDRs if we let them.
If we let them.
Yeah. He argues the human advantage is doing what AI can't, not yet anyway, like deep research, really high touch personalized messaging, stuff that actually hits on the prospect's real pain points and goals, going beyond just generic outreach.
Right. And there's definitely caution out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
James Shannon argued that sometimes AI SDRs just copy the worst reps.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, leading to just generic emails, more spam, basically burning through your TAM, your total addressable market.
Ouch. Yeah, you don't want that.
Exactly. So he and Richard F. Purcell, too, they suggest AI should handle the repetitive stuff, you know, or maybe identify the really hot leads for a human touch, not just generate loads of low quality noise.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it connects right back to foundational issues. Mm-hmm. Louina Law, she talks about this a lot. Based on her experience, she says, you know, pump the brakes on AI unless your foundation is solid.
Solid foundation.
Meaning clear processes, knowing your ICP, your ideal customer profile inside out, having playbooks you can actually test. You need that strong base before you layer on AI. Eddie Reynolds echoed this. He showed how Sastra's AI SDR success came from rebuilding their foundation first, not just chasing the newest tool or prompt. Strategy before tech.
Strategy before tech. I like that. But okay, here's where it gets really interesting, maybe a bit worrying. Drew Smith suggested AI SDRs might bring back the old call the phone book strategy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because the cost is so low now with AI. Imagine just spamming everyone again. What happens to the ROI then? Nobody wants more spam calls.
That's a really valid concern, quality over quantity, right? But, you know, on the flip side, weighing the human advantage, Domernasius is more optimistic. He thinks AI won't replace SDRs outright. Instead, it'll change outbound. AI handles the repetitive stuff, follow-ups, sending emails, data updates. That frees up humans for the complex stuff. Handling tricky objections, building real trust, navigating big deals. Mike Kazantzis sees it similarly. AI SDRs complement the team. They do the sourcing, enrichment, signal tracking, that first outreach. Humans focus on strategy, relationships, closing. AI for scale, humans for depth.
AI for scale, humans for depth.
Okay.
So thinking about all this,
yeah.
What does it mean for your sales team?
Mm-hmm.
How are you balancing that AI efficiency push with the human touch that builds relationships? Definitely something to mull over. All right, let's shift gears. Let's talk AI and searching content. It's becoming super clear that AI is fundamentally changing how B2B buyers find information, how they do their research.
Totally.
I mean, the old playbook for content, for SEO, feels like it's basically dead, doesn't it?
It really does feel that way. The shift is massive. P. Blake Renda pointed out we're moving from keywords, you know, typing words into Google, to these AI answer engines and conversational interfaces.
Answer engine.
Yeah. People expect direct answers now, personalized ones, which leads to more zero-click searches where the answer's right there on the results page.
Right, no need to click through.
Exactly. And get this. Surveys show 77% of internet users use ChatGPT as a search engine now. 77%. And 24% go there first.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge number. So the implications for just getting seen for visibility, they're enormous.
Huge. Neil Patel emphasized Google's AI is using trust signals more and more as ranking factors. It's not just about keywords anymore. It's about building trust, authority, having a strong brand.
And it's not just Google, right?
No, exactly. Tony Dos Santos added that point. AI search is pulling from everywhere. Your content needs to be visible on Wikipedia, Reddit, YouTube, LinkedIn, review sites, wherever the AI might be looking.
So this leads to a whole new thing. Answer engine optimization. AEO.
Precisely. Bjorn Rade and Maja Voje explain it really well. With AEO, it's less about ranking number one on Google and more about getting cited or referenced in those AI answers.
Ah, okay. Being the source.
Exactly. Which means your content needs to give direct, clear, authoritative answers. And really focus on EET. Experience, expertise, authority, trustworthiness. AI needs credible info.
So this completely flips the funnel then. Kyle Byers argues buyers do like 80% of their research on AI and these large language models before they even visit your website.
80%. It's staggering.
Yeah. He says winning companies are optimizing for share of voice in AI responses, getting visible, getting mentioned by the LLMs. He basically says everything is becoming brand marketing now.
It really feels that way. And on the content creation side, Jean-Baptiste Isnard shared this really cool method, content atomization using AI.
Atomization, like breaking it down.
Exactly. Take one big asset, a webinar, a report, and AI helps you slice and dice it into a whole week's worth of content for different platforms. Mm. LinkedIn posts, short videos, articles.
Oh, that's smart.
Super smart. Saves tons of time, multiplies your reach and ROI. Get the most out of your best stuff.
And the tech itself is evolving like crazy. Jonathan M.K. talked about GPT-5's structured complexity. Yeah. Structured complexity. Okay. Yeah, basically, it can handle really intricate instructions. So precise prompts get you exponential results. Think about B2B teams getting detailed, ready-to-use battle cards almost instantly. Huge for competitive win rates.
That's powerful. And quickly on practicalities. Marius Filia highlighted AI translation. Big advantage for e-commerce in Europe, for example.
Right. Multilingual markets.
Yeah. Boost sales, cut costs by translating thousands of SKUs in seconds. And the AI can adapt keywords for local search too, which raises that key question for everyone. How do we make our content AI ready and globally accessible?
It really is amazing how fast we went from keywords to answer engines.
Oh,
just
God.
A year or two ago.
I know.
If you weren't ranking on Google, you were lost. Now, if the AI doesn't cite you, you're invisible.
It's a total re-education for content marketers.
Yep.
The old rules, gone. Adapt fast to AEO, content atomization. That's the edge now.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. Let's talk broader strategy. AI across the entire go-to-market, the GTM, beyond specific tools, what's the big picture impact on how companies grow?
Well, it's pretty clear AI isn't optional anymore. It's foundational. Kuhn Stam put it starkly. If AI isn't in your GTM strategy, you don't have a GTM strategy.
Wow. Okay. Bold claim.
Yeah. He calls AI fluency the competitive moat. Ewan McGuinness echoed that, saying manual GTM equals linear growth, but AI-powered GTM equals exponential growth.
Exponential. That's a big promise.
It is. And he says the biggest risk isn't messing up AI implementation. It's adopting it too late. It's about shifting gears from slow progression to rapid acceleration.
Okay. Exponential growth. Eliminating random acts of sales. That sounds great.
Yeah.
How does AI actually do that? Andy Sherman mentioned combining it with fractional CRO services.
Yeah.
How does that make growth predictable?
Right. It's about data-driven precision and automation applied strategically.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Sherman's point is that AI, guided by that fractional CRO leadership, builds these scalable GTM frameworks. Instead of just, you know, random sales campaigns here, marketing pushes there, AI analyzes everything, the whole customer journey. It spots patterns, predicts outcomes, optimizes where you put your resources.
So it connects the dots.
Exactly. It makes the whole process systematic, measurable. No more guesswork. Every action is intentional, contributing to predictable revenue. It's moving to a data-backed, self-optimizing system.
Makes sense. Not just adding a tool, but boosting operational intelligence.
Precisely. Which Samantha Gillen calls the AI integration reality check. She warns only about 28% of companies use AI strategically for transformation, not just adding features.
Only 28%? That's low.
It is. She quoted Glenn Roberts from Vention saying, AI is empowering organizations to make better, more informed decisions by leveraging new data sources that were previously overlooked. It's about finding those hidden insights.
But there's a big pitfall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Remedios talked about bolt-on AI actually killing GPM.
Yeah, that was a strong critique.
He said it fails on context, intelligence, memory, leading to stalled growth. He advocates for a GTM intelligence infrastructure powered by a GTM knowledge graph. What is a GTM knowledge graph, practically? Yeah.
Great question. Remedios' point is that just adding random AI tools creates silos, no unified intelligence. A GTM knowledge graph is basically, think of it as a connected web of all your GTM data.
All of it.
Yeah, customer interactions, sales calls, marketing results, product use, competitor info, everything linked together. This creates a unified memory. It gives AI the context that isolated tools lack. It learns from every interaction, understands relationships, makes truly smart recommendations that drive revenue, not just automate tasks. It's like the central brain for your GTM.
A central brain. Got it. So the whole GTM becomes a smart learning system.
Exactly right. And Trey Boyer suggests CRM itself has evolved. It's not just a system of record anymore, like a digital Rolodex.
Right.
It's becoming a system of intelligence. This allows for predictive intent data, knowing who might buy when. It enables outcome-based metrics, focusing on results, and dynamic self-optimizing playbooks for sales teams. Your CRM becomes a proactive coach.
And the data supports this shift, right? Gordana McNamara shared insights.
Yes, really compelling data. Startups with dedicated AI talent, they see higher revenue. AI drives efficiency across the board, customer service, sales, marketing. Her data showed top ROI use cases are generative AI for content, workflow automation, and visual content creation. It's broad.
But amidst all this tech talk, there's a human angle too. Abba Sanji made a really interesting point.
Yeah, that resonated. He believes the teams that really win in, say, 2026 will be the ones getting out of the office, talking to people face-to-face.
Interesting counterpoint.
Right. He argues AI and automation should enable more human interaction, free us up from the grunt work for more meaningful connections, not replace them.
More human connection, not less. That's crucial. So think about your own organization. Is AI just a side project, something bolted on, or is it truly embedded, a strategic partner reshaping your whole GTM? Big question. Okay, as we start to wrap up, let's look ahead. What's next? What does the near future hold for AI in B2B? How fast is this stuff coming?
We're seeing some incredible leaps in predictive power, moving beyond just reacting. Harit Gaurav, for example, talked about using AI to predict campaign drop-off before it happens.
Predicting failure.
By tracking engagement decay, subtle shifts in intent signals. It lets marketers adjust proactively and not wait for the numbers to tank. And building on that, Dr. Shishir Vakhia mentioned Edge plus AI. Think real-time, hyper-personalized B2B campaigns that respond instantly to what a prospect is doing right now. It's shifting from marketing automation to marketing anticipation.
Marketing anticipation. Almost like a crystal ball.
Kind of.
But then there's this shift Marcus Sheridan discussed, ChatGPT's agent mode, where you don't just ask it things, you delegate tasks, like finding contractors, planning trips.
Yeah.
The AI browses, clicks, types, even buys for you.
Yeah, agent mode.
That sounds wild. What are the practicalities there? The pitfalls for B2B?
It is pretty wild. It's AI moving from responsive tool to autonomous executor. For B2B, imagine delegating market research, building targeted lead lists, initial vendor vetting, even drafting RFPs. Huge efficiency potential.
Okay, I see the upside.
But the pitfalls. You need to ensure its actions align perfectly with your strategy. Data security, privacy, huge considerations. You need clear oversight. You're giving it agency, so it's trust but verify on steroids. It changes the question from what can AI tell me to what can AI do for me?
What can AI do for me? Got it. And that level of delegation also touches on creativity, doesn't it?
It does. Pascal Bournette explored whether AI can be truly creative, his conclusion. AI is brilliant at combinational brilliance.
Combinational brilliance.
Yeah, generating endless ideas, combinations, designs based on existing data. But true creativity, that spark, that comes from humans, our ethics, emotions, experiences, giving content meaning. So it leads to this creative co-pilot idea. AI generates possibilities, humans filter, add intent, emotions, strategy, a powerful partnership.
Creative co-pilot. I like that framing. But okay, another challenge. Justin Rick has suggested AI, while meant to make in-housing easier, actually adds complexity.
Yeah, that's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Totally. And it can lead to AI beige content, grammatically perfect, but totally bland. He argues the future is hybrid models, in-house teams, plus agencies. Why does AI add complexity, and how do hybrids help?
Right, the AI beige problem. Ricketts' point is AI generates so much so easily, you drown without strong human oversight for quality, brand, voice, distinctiveness. It adds complexity because you're managing prompts, refining output, integrating tools, constantly evaluating. It's not set and forget. Hybrid models work because the in-house team knows the business deeply, but agencies bring specialized creativity, outside perspectives, a critical eye. They push boundaries, challenge assumptions, and help ensure the AI output actually stands out, avoiding that beige blandness. It's efficiency plus impact.
Efficiency plus impact makes sense.
Yeah.
And one final insight from Max Elster, bringing it back to the sales process.
Yes, a really smart observation about the mid-funnel. Often resource-heavy, right? Max sees AI replicating sales engineers, value engineers, especially where human resources are tight. AI can build tailored business cases, simulate buyer objections for training or automated responses, streamline demonstrating value. Connecting it all up, it's about scaling your best expertise, making your top performers' knowledge go further, faster, high-touch, but scalable.
High touch, but scalable. That's the goal. Okay, so here's something to leave you with. As AI keeps reshaping B2B marketing, maybe the core challenge isn't just how to use it, but who in your company orchestrates it. Who ensures you harness the power while keeping that essential human creativity, empathy, and strategic judgment? How will you prepare your team as those lines between machine and human blur even more? If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling. Thanks so much for joining us on The Deep Dive. Please do subscribe so you don't miss our next exploration into B2B marketing.